Hello! Welcome to Something Offbeat, where we bring you all types of weird news. Usually we do deep dives into offbeat headlines on this show. Sometimes we'll do quick rundowns of headlines we find, and sometimes we bring you our host Mike Rogers' daily Other Side of the News dispatches from KRLD 1080. This week we're doing something a little bit different. A tour of Odyssey's radio stations around the country to see what strange stories our talk shows have been discussing over the past week. We found that in St. Louis, they're talking about a pro-steroids Olympic-style event. In Kansas City, they've been chatting about a mental condition you may have never heard of. And in Minneapolis, they're talking about tourists getting blasted by water guns. First, we'll check in with the team from the Dave Glover Show at KMOX in St. Louis, Missouri. They were the ones that were talking about the Enhanced Games, a pro-doping sporting event scheduled for next May in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Maybe this will be fun to talk about. Have we ever brought up the Enhanced Games that are going to debut in Las Vegas?
No.
So this is a pro-doping Olympics, basically. It's an Olympic-style sporting event where athletes will be permitted and even encouraged to use performance-enhancing drugs. And it's going to debut in Las Vegas next May.
What are they playing?
They will race, lift, and swim with full access to drugs and therapies banned in every other elite athletic setting.
Wheels.
It's just stupid. No, it really is, because what you're going to get is a bunch of people that are not the best who drug themselves up to make it look like they're close. And if you put them in a straight up competition against the real best, they're not there. And that's why they have to use performance enhancing drugs. So, I mean, if you enjoy, I would consider that kind of like the minor leagues.
Also, is it like
legit people, the top people, they're not doing this.
Is it like medically supervised enhancement, or are these just people like just
taking what they want?
Yeah, like I can buy it on the black market and just inject myself with steroids and show up the next day.
That is a good question. Let me scroll up on the story here. So yeah,
probably if they're not even going to test.
Well, you can either compete naturally, you can use PEDs, and then there is like a clinical thing that you can do under their supervision, but it looks like you would be able to just kind of do DIY your performance-enhancing drugs.
Dangerous.
Yeah. So they say on their website that every athlete will undergo like a rigorous state-of-the-art medical profile to make sure, like, heart problem. I guess probably because they don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
But again, I don't understand the point of it. I mean,
I think because you always hear people saying that if you just, you know, like, let everybody in baseball just take them and see what everything shakes out. But I mean,
there's actually something to it when it comes to the visual of a baseball player hitting a ball 550 feet. Versus a guy that is, because those are the best players in the world, that a guy that is normally 0.4 of a second slower than Usain Bolt being the same as Usain Bolt.
Right.
And because it's 0.1 of a second, nobody can see the difference. Nobody can tell the difference. I'm not advocating for the other one, by the way. I'm just saying like there's a difference between when you're like running against the clock. Because nobody can see the actual difference. You're just noticing a time difference. So if it's like
a combine,
if it's 1 second, is that really going to change your experience of watching it? Especially knowing what you know versus, wow, that basketball player jumped at half court and dunked. That's crazy.
So is it more of a CrossFit thing where you're like, because I know the CrossFit people, like they'll have their competitions where they compete against everybody and it's like strength, you know, and all these wild things they do to their bodies.
I mean, I don't know. I don't see how it would be a big draw to most people. Because let's be honest, nobody watches those sports anyway. They roll around once every 4 years in the Olympics, and nobody watches those. They're watching gymnastics or they're watching something else. Nobody's watching weightlifting on TV.
The organizers say the goal is to explore the boundaries of human potential while provoking a broader cultural conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're trying to make money is what they're trying to do. There's a reason people are investing in it, because it's not because they want to test the boundaries. Yeah. It's because they want to make money off of that.
Let's get a whole bunch of people on steroids and put them in a small Olympic village and see how that turns
out. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah.
Oh, you're being facetious.
Yeah. The embroid rage is going to be rampant.
Should we just do it like the Running Man? Just have them all fighting to the death?
Yes. Yes. Yes to all of you.
Gladiator games.
We're getting one step closer. Yes, we should. In fact, we should make them. We should just draft people. Guess what? You're going to get swole. You're going to fight a dog.
Yeah.
Just jump on their back, inject them with some steroids, and tell them to start running.
Have you ever felt like you're more sensitive to rejection than some people? You might have a condition that the New York Times reported on this April. It's called rejection sensitive dysphoria. This week, the Dana and Park Show at KMBZ in Kansas City discussed the article and the condition. Here, listen.
So I'm reading this story the other night, and I go, oh my gosh, I have this. But you know who has it worse than I have it? Sam.
Oh.
This is a disorder that you're not going to find yet in any medical book, but it is very real. And I think there's a whole lot of you listening that probably have this anger and this feeling when certain people do a very specific thing.
According to the Cleveland Clinic, people with rejection-sensitive dysphoria, also known as RSD, experience severe emotional pain because of a failure or of feeling rejected. It's a condition that's linked with ADHD, and the clinic explained that experts suspect it actually happens due to differences in brain structure. Those differences could change the way the brain regulates rejection-related emotions and behaviors, making them feel more intense.
Here is the article from the New York Times. Under Psych 101, it reads, rejection-sensitive dysphoria turns a small snub into a very big deal. Okay? Imagine a nail jabbing at a shiny blue balloon. Pop. That is what rejection can feel like for someone with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, according to one TikTok creator who tells his audience it can lead to an explosion of emotions. The clip is one of thousands of posts about RSD, rejection sensitive dysphoria. The term is rarely used by clinicians. You won't find it in any manual to diagnose, but references to RSD have percolated online, especially on social media. And for people with ADHD like me, Scott, this concept has not only hit home, I've sent it to everybody. I'm like, this is me. And I never knew what to call it. Okay. RSD describes an intense emotional reaction to rejection, teasing, criticism, or the perception that you have failed. And so they talk to this woman who has it. She says, I immediately go from something that would maybe irk some people, right, Scott? Like, well, why did he say that? Or why did my boss call? To this is the end of the world. And if you read down a little further, one of the doctors from SLU, of all places in St. Louis, says RSD, the people who have this, they aren't just sensitive to perceived criticism. They're also highly critical of themselves. In addition, when they are teased, criticized, or rejected, their mood changes instantaneously. Okay. They will suddenly feel either depressed or full of rage. This is where the word dysphoria comes in, meaning the state of feeling unhappy, uneasy, or dissatisfied. It is rage. Sam, do you have the rage or do you just get upset?
I mean, I guess it depends on the context. I've certainly gotten a whole lot better about it over the years, but it certainly used to be rage.
I can give you so many examples where if someone texted you something, Scott, on a weekend, say, from work, you would be like, what? I don't even know that you would reply. I will go from 0 to 1,000 and completely fly off the handle.
For me, it's more about the perception of failure.
Yes, that I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
It's the perception that someone thinks I've done something wrong.
But there was a word that you mentioned I want to go back to for just a second. Teased.
The three of us tease each other for 4 hours a day.
The teasing doesn't bother me at all. It's the thought that someone perceives
that you failed,
that I have failed, or I'm in trouble. I've done something wrong.
Okay, so let me turn into Dr. Parks here for a second.
Yeah, it goes back to my childhood.
Does it?
Yes.
Do you think you have failed?
No.
Do you think you're a success?
Yes.
Okay. So where did you think you failed?
That's where this gets so crazy.
Well, Dr. Parks is in the chair. This is free.
You can be, and Sam, you know this, you can be at the top of your game, but if one person questions, did you do this or why did you do this? I will lose my marbles. And I can't explain it until I read this. I didn't know what it was. But I will have an extreme emotional reaction where most other people, and I've seen it like with people in my life, I'm like, how do you handle that? Like, how are you so good at just, if someone is criticizing you about your performance, you say, well, let's have a conversation about it. I will just flip out.
Earlier this year, we did an episode covering the latest season of the HBO TV show The White Lotus. Now, this last story from the Adam and Jordana show out of WCCO in Minneapolis reminds me of a certain scene where American tourists get trapped in a water gun fight while vacationing in Thailand. I guess that's a real risk for travelers lately. People around the world are just getting pretty peeved with tourists clogging up their cities.
Water guns were used just a few months ago when a group stopped a tour bus and they shot water guns at the tourists because they didn't want tourists. On Sunday, 1,000 people marched towards La Sagrada Familia.
I've been there.
Sorry about the accent.
No, that's, you nailed it.
La Sagrada Familia.
La Sagrada Familia.
There you go. Spritzing unsuspecting tourists, chanting slogans like, one more tourist, one less resident, and tourists go home. Stickers with water guns image on hotels have been on cafes, on cars, and they don't want us. So does that make you not want to go? You've been there.
Yeah.
Were they nice to you when you were there?
Yeah, this is a couple of years ago, though. And again, this is like tourists in general, not, this isn't like anti-American tourists.
No. Absolutely.
This is tourists. So these are
tourists everywhere that all tourists, they don't want them because they're taking over their cities with their visits and all they're spending their money. So, I don't understand.
Well,
this.
I have a couple of issues with this. One is that we talked about this when this first came up, I think last year.
Yeah.
And a big problem is the people who buy properties in these cities and then rent them out as Airbnbs, and the difficulty it has for people who actually live there to afford property in the city and
get a reservation to go and eat because they're taking up all the space in the cafes.
I, as a tourist, I don't feel like that's my problem.
Right.
If I'm taking advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, you live in Barcelona. You live in one of the more beautiful cities in the world. And guess what? It's going to and will always be a tourist destination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand their argument.
The trend began last July, so this is already going on almost a year, when activist groups started promoting, quote, degrowth of the city's tourism sector. And yes, it's because of that. There are so many Airbnbs that it's become unaffordable for actual residents, for people who are native there, to buy or to live, and also, you know, like it's taking over their mass transportation. Because, you know, when you go to Barcelona or whatever, a lot of people use mass trans, so you want to feel like a local, so you also get on the train or on the bus. And they're fed up with it. Just a few days ago, there was a massive protest outside the Louvre. I mean, the Louvre is the Louvre.
Yeah, right.
You're the Louvre. I've been to the Louvre, and it's spectacular, and people should go. I mean, it was built because whoever built it wanted to share art with the world. It is home to some of the greatest art in the world that many people want to see. So when the French, the Parisians, are out there shooting us with water guns, I don't think it's helpful. But my question is, does it make you not want to go? Someone shooting me with a water gun I don't really care. I don't care what they think. If I really, really wanted to see something. But this sense of anti-tourist would make me feel uncomfortable going to a city.
Nobody wants to go to a place where they don't feel welcome.
They're not wanted.
Would it deter me? I don't think so. But, and David brought this point up earlier, there are so many other places to go. I mean, yes, we'd all love to go to the big, we'd love to see Paris and see the Louvre.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many different places to go where you can get off the beaten path where I don't think you would face the same kind of resistance.
So is this then going to be a new trend? The places where the residents don't hate you. By the way, travel influencers, listen up. This is going to be a new niche. You know, don't go to the Louvre. Don't go to Barcelona. You need to go to other random cities where they might have spectacular views and great lakes, but it's not the main drag. It's not where a tourist trap is. Is this going to be the new trend? And I'm asking the listeners, 651-461-9226, because certain cities seem to be tourist unfriendly. They don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
Will this stop you from going?
I used to say this about my dad, because my dad lived in Grand Marais for many years, and he would bemoan the fact that how the city would get so busy in the summertime. And I always tell him, Dad, you live in a vacation destination.
Yeah.
Guess what? People are coming up here in the middle of the summertime.
So does he not have a right to be annoyed?
That's a great question. I don't think so. You choose to live in a vacation destination. You were once a tourist to the city, and you said, I love it so much, I'm going to move here.
I'm going to move here, right.
So is it fair to then be suddenly upset that people are still coming there? And I'd ask the same of these folks in Barcelona.
Right.
Unless they're native Barcelonians.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to this episode of Something Offbeat. It was produced by me, Lauren Barry. Special thanks to The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX, The Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ, and The Adam and Jordana Show out of WCCO. We just scratched the surface of their conversations here, so please listen and subscribe to their shows on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And stay tuned next week for our host Mike Rogers' interview with an expert from UC Denver on research into medical uses for psychedelics.